Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Sonia Grace, who is the author of Becoming an Earth Angel, Advice and Wisdom for Finding Your Wings in Living in Service. Sonia has a 30-year history of being an author and mystic healer, and she has been healing, counseling, and helping people with their spiritual development for many years. And this also includes an ability to read and clear karmic threads, which helps clients heal lifetimes of the past lifetimes of patterns that they wish to resolve. Thanks, Sonia, for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
So you've been actually in practice for a while. What guided you to write the book?
Well, I feel that there's a lot of people being called to their spiritual, there's sort of a big spiritual awakening that's happening for many people. And as people get called to this spiritual awakening, they get really zealous about it. You know, there's so much information on the internet and so much information out there, you know, some of it true, some of it not true, some of it good, some of it not so good. And I thought, you know, after 30 plus years of doing this work, I really need to write a book that helps guide people, no matter what industry you're in, about being in service, because that's really what it's about. It's not about, you know, oh, it's all important that I'm this or that I'm that. Whatever industry you're in, it is about being in service, because we're in this fifth dimension now, this higher vibration, this higher frequency, and it's super important that we understand how to function in that higher frequency. Otherwise, it's really tough on people. People experience all kinds of symptoms from it right now, from ringing in the ears to neck pain, thyroid issues, all kinds of you know, spinal issues. I've seen lots of stuff going on for people because we've changed vibration.
So explain to our audience a little bit about the vibrational shift. You know, a lot of people think heaven is another place, but when we understand about frequency, we understand that heaven is right here. It's just at a higher frequency.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, okay, so for your listeners, put your seatbelt on. Make sure you've had your coffee, because it is an amazing experience in that. I'm going to start this off with, the angels took me into that other place that we call heaven. I've actually gone into what is the parallel universe, heaven, the spirit realm, whatever you want to call that. I've gone into that place, and the vibration, the feeling is so tremendous. It is so unreal. It's indescribable. The feeling of love and bliss all at the same time just completely takes over your entire being. And for those who are there in the spirit realm, that's the vibration that they're in all the time. So here we are on Earth. Okay, what vibration are we in? And, you know, we know that we're here to, you know, do our lives and our purpose and, you know, find some kind of spiritual path. But the thing that people don't often understand is that there are different vibrations that exist through time. And so we came out of the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension was from about the time of Atlantis and Lemuria, 10,000-12,000 BC, up until the end of the Mayan calendar, which is 2 years ago, December. So at the end of the Mayan calendar and that fourth dimension, we moved into the fifth dimension. That's why the calendar marked the end of that time period. It was the end of a vibrational dimension. The fourth dimension is really clearly defined, relating very much to the fourth chakra in the body, the energy center at the heart, in that everything was about love. You know, we came out of the third dimension, which is related more to the third chakra and power. So as we integrated in the fourth dimension, we were integrating love. So that's why there were wars where they fought, you know, huge wars over the love of a woman, you know, Helen of Troy. There were huge, huge events that happened because of love. But the element of war was still entangled in it. So people died because of love. William Shakespeare, for heaven's sakes, wrote about love. You know, there's so many things that mark the fourth dimension and that transition that we made into love, right up to the 60s, where it was all about love and peace and everybody trying to find that higher frequency that they were in. So now we're in the fifth dimension, and we're all scratching our heads going, wait a minute, I thought we were here, you know, integrating this whole feeling of love, which we are, we still are, but we've moved up into the fifth chakra. Now it's a higher frequency, and it's more about communicating it. It's more about telling the truth. It's more about everybody being more telepathic, having more clarity, being able to, you know, have that higher sensation of what's going on with the world, with their families, with everybody around them. So as this gets developed for people and their spiritual path gets, you know, ignited, I wrote this book because I wanted to help people understand what that means and how to function in the fifth dimension and be in service. Because being in service, again, no matter what industry you're in, is where it's at for this fifth dimension.
So one of the aspects of spiritual development is spiritual hearing. And as we are able to hear beyond this dimension, we can also hear all sorts of things about whether or not people are lying, whether or not they mean to deceive us. And that is how I think that all the deception and the lower energies will just cease to exist, because of these skills that more and more people will have that just basically blot out any of the lower energies.
Well, I agree. To me, the lower energies are a part of these dimensions that we're talking about, meaning they really existed in the, you know, first, second, third, fourth dimensions. They were still very much, you know, happening. A lot of these lower energies are existing in the fifth dimension, but they're globbing on to, you know, people's energy fields and, you know, whatever they can, because they want to exist in this higher frequency, because they can't. They really aren't going to exist. But the bigger picture of that is, okay, now you need to put your seatbelt back on, we live in dualism. We're in the duality. So we're measuring things as good and bad and right and wrong and, you know, higher, lower, light and dark. We're constantly measuring. That is our filtering system. And this fifth dimension, we're actually going to move out of this duality probably 100 years down the road. We are, you know, it takes time. This fifth dimension's here for centuries to come, but it takes time in the integration of that energy. It doesn't just boom, drop in, and we're in it. It's like it's in stages, and part of those stages is that everybody's having to come to terms with what they're attached to, how they perceive, and letting go. I mean, if I've heard one statement from all my clients in the last month, it's, how do I let go? I need to let go. And I see this across the board. But this living in duality and measuring things that way is the norm. And for most people on Earth, this is how we perceive. But that energy, that lower vibrational energy that you're talking about, it too exists in the perception of the duality. And when we can step back in meditation and going really deep in meditation and find what I call is the third place, which is peace, we're able to just observe that duality. We're able to observe what is good and bad, right and wrong, and really not invest in any of it, not have anything on any of it other than, wow, that's a part of the duality, and look at how that gets set up here on Earth.
So in the book, you talk about the various attributes of the archangels and how we can call on them to help us. Would you like to go through that?
Sure, yeah. The archangels are always there to help, you know, everyone. And I particularly call on Michael and Gabriel and Raphael and Uriel. And I feel that the archangels are of the highest vibration next to God. They are, you know, they're of the highest vibration. I only work with angels. And I feel that the angelic realm is completely, completely here to help us on Earth. They are, there's millions of them. When I went into that realm, into heaven or the angelic realm, it was amazing. I mean, there were just thousands of them, millions of, I mean, all I could see were angels. And they are absolutely there to help us, for everyone to call upon them. I feel that each one of them has, you know, a particular area that they work in, and I find that being able to ask for help and get out of the way is the most important part of being a healer and being a visionary, is to get out of the way and to really allow divine will, God's will, to flow. And the angels really work with that vibration. I wrote in my first book, Angels in the 21st Century, that the mission statement for humanity is to love at the deepest level of our beings. And I live by that, and I feel that that is something that really is not fully understood by most people. And the angels talk about this a lot with me, and that we are really meant to embody as much as we can that high vibration of divine love that I described, that I felt when I went into the angelic realm or the parallel universe. We're meant to really embody that. And it's hard for us to imagine, because our experience in bodies in physical form is so dense, it's so thick and dense, that we end up, first of all, with amnesia. We don't remember where we've been, or, you know, that we're infinite souls having a human experience. And we also don't understand that we have the ability to really connect with Source, with God, Source coming through the top of our heads, and the Earth, the Goddess, coming up through the bottom of our feet, and those two energies meet at the heart. And that's why our heart experience, our love, is so powerful, because these two energies, we're like conduits. These two energies come through us, and bam, you know, we have this incredible experience at the heart. So the angels are really instrumental in all of this. They are absolutely there for people to call upon, and I highly recommend that everyone ask them for help.
So Michael has always been associated with protection.
Mm-hmm.
And would you like to go through some of the other attributes of the other archangels?
Sure. You know, Gabriel to me is one that I feel protects, you know, clears things out. You know, he is the patron angel of writers, speakers, philosophers, actors, poets, physicians. You know, there's so many things about Gabriel that is important, being the messenger angel. His name means God is my strength, and he is depicted in art, you know, throughout history. My experience of him is he is a fierce warrior. He's very much a protector. I call on him a lot. And he is the oldest of the archangels, followed by Michael, then Raphael and Uriel. They were totally created by God in a time and space where nothing existed. And as you mentioned, Michael being a warrior, he is the patron angel of police, firefighters, soldiers, protectors, truth, surfers, dancers, car racers, wrestlers, bodybuilders, football players. You know, there's all kinds of things about Michael in my book. He's, when he comes to me, the colors, it's the luminescent colors in his clothing and his whole being is just unbelievable. They all have sort of this otherworldly sparkle and luminescent colors. Raphael is the healer, and I'm sure as a doctor you know this. You know, you call upon Raphael to help you. He's who I call upon when I do healing work. He's the one who is there to assist, remove cords, links, lifelines. He's someone who is the patron angel of astronomers, doctors, nurses, healers, herbalists, intuitives, travelers, light workers, therapists, shamans, medicine people. He is very much connected to that world of healing, and I call upon him for that. Uriel is one of the wisest angels, and his name means God is light. Uriel is pretty much the helper and the one that goes to people who feel lost and abandoned, rejected, and alone. He's the patron angel of judges, lawmakers, peacemakers, seekers of truth, prophets, and visionaries. And he can be called upon to help with alchemy, divine magic. And he's very, he's very helpful with earth changes. Anything that's going on with the planet, you can call on Uriel. So those are the archangels that I work with and that I call upon. And they are, they're available to everyone. People get really hung up in the whole time and space thing. Well, how can they be with you and then be with me? And, that's true of just about everyone out there in the spirit realm and the universe that we might call upon. Time and space is not what we perceive it here on Earth. And they can be there to help everyone. The one thing, too, I wanted to share with you is the, to help the listeners understand what this book really means, because Become an Earth Angel is not necessarily, this title that I just gave myself, oh, I'm an Earth Angel. I didn't give this title to myself, and I feel that it's a real honor to have been called an Earth Angel. But that experience came to me at the death of my father, and my my 4 days that I sat with him as he was dying, and then when he crossed over, I literally, coached him and talked to him and held his hand and basically went up into the light with him, saw all of our relatives, and came back down, and the next morning I woke up and he was standing at the side of my bed, and the angels were there with him. And the angels reached down and touched the top of my head, and they said, "You're now an earth angel." And my dad was thanking me and saying, "Thank you so much for helping me. You just made it so much easier." And, he was really just filled with gratitude, and I was crying and he was crying. I mean, it was really an amazing event for me and very personal. But I kept thinking, this happened, and I need to share this with people. And for those people who are aspiring in whatever industry you're in, to be at service and to help others, your own experience of becoming an earth angel may be in your future, and this is what's coming for you. But it's something that that I feel is because we put ourselves in service, because we dedicate ourselves to helping the planet, to helping humanity, to helping the four-leggeds and the winged ones and all living things on Earth.
In our meditation group, we're counseled by higher level energies, including the archangels. And one thing we've been told is that when you're in spirit, and this is everybody from archangels down to our deceased relatives, they're capable of an infinite number of things simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how they word it so that we understand that calling on them is not a burden to them or a bother, or, you know, like down here when too many people call on us at the same time, we kind of freak out sometimes because we are in time and space, but they're not. And so because they can do an infinite number of things simultaneously, they are open to helping innumerable people. And one of the things that we don't realize is how much help there is available from the spirit world. We just simply don't realize that. We think that, yes, we call on them in times of need, when we're very ill, or when, you know, when we have a serious protection problem, we're in danger. But actually, we can call on them anytime.
Right, exactly. And again, we get so caught up in the world that we're in. We get caught up in this experience that we're having, which is rich in emotion. I mean, the palette of emotions, and our homework as we're here on Earth is to feel our feelings, process them, and release them. It's such a rich experience that we forget. We get disconnected from calling upon the spirits, the angels in that realm. We forget. And you know, this is the beauty of, you know, indigenous cultures, tribal cultures, is that they're still connected to much of that. They're still calling upon their ancestors.
Headaches, back pain, migraines, joint pain, nothing worse than the nagging, unending discomfort of daily aches and pains. If you have pain and are looking for more natural solutions to eliminate your pain, Millennium Healthcare is for you. Millennium Healthcare's professionals will work for you. For help or more information on natural pain relief, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012. Millennium Healthcare. Pain relief naturally.
So you had plastic surgery. What was it like?
It was great. Don't get me wrong. It was surgery, but the doctors and staff at Plastico's were terrific.
Honey, you look like $1 million. You actually went to Plastico's and had it done.
Why don't you? Plastic surgery is outpatient, and you'll only be out of work a few days. I love what Plastico's did for me, and looking my best is an investment that pays in so many ways. The help you get from the professionals at Plastico's is a bargain.
Plastico's, 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available, 770-457-4677.
Please join us every Saturday morning for Temple of Health Radio Show, brought to you by Plastico's and Millennium Healthcare. Our holistic medical practices in Atlanta are committed to community education. Our shows bring you national authors on topics of health alternatives, new scientific breakthroughs, and spiritual medicine.
Back to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm interviewing Sonia Grace. Her book, Becoming an Earth Angel, Advice and Wisdom for Finding Your Wings and Living in Service. Sonia, would you like to give your contact information for our listeners?
Sure. You can find me at Sonia, S-O-N-J-A, Grace, G-R-A-C-E.com. I'm also, excuse me, on Facebook, Mystic Healer Sonia Grace, my fan page, and Twitter, Sonia Grace Guide. So there's lots of ways to get in touch with me and check out everything that's on my website. I've got a lot of really great workshops and retreats coming up.
In your book, you talk a lot about the importance of breaking karmic patterns for healing. Would you like to explain to our listeners a little bit about how karmic patterns form, and then how they affect us in life, and then how you can break them or dissolve them in the healings that you do?
Sure, sure. First of all, I want to explain that the deeper kind of octave of karma is the unresolved emotional wounds in past lives. So if we have a lifetime where we're accused of being a heretic, and of course we're not a heretic, we're nothing even close to that, but we've been accused of this, and we're being hauled off to be burned at the stake, there's the experience of being in shock, horror, feeling betrayed. Those are my people. Why are they betraying me? Abandoned. There's all these feelings, but you don't have, you know, a therapist sitting at the pile of wood that's going to get set on fire saying, gee, can we do a session before you die so you can resolve these emotional wounds you're experiencing? No, we're just, you know, poof, the fire, and everything goes up, and that's that. And you then die in that lifetime with all of those emotional wounds that you have and that you experienced. And it comes into the next life, which is a completely different country, gender. I mean, that's the cool thing about, you know, lifetimes, is that we incarnate all over the world, different cultures, different genders. You know, you're male one lifetime, you're female another lifetime. And so as we experience karma and we are now in this lifetime, we have these karmic pieces, these threads to our past lives that are echoing in this lifetime. So we can work, and when I work with clients, I often go into this lifetime working on emotional wounds of what happened when they were a child, when the person experienced something traumatic or, you know, even arresting at that time. And then we'll go back and also clear it on a karmic level, because when I do past life readings, I'm able to see where the person was when they were born, and I literally follow their soul up into that parallel universe and come back down to where they incarnated. And I've traced people's lives all the way back to Atlantis and Lemuria. And oftentimes I'm shown where they come from beyond that, in terms of where in the galaxy or universe that person comes from. And it's really powerful in that going in and clearing something on that karmic level literally shifts the energy, as if, let's say, a person has abandonment issues, and that abandonment is like a tone or a vibration coming off the body, and that vibration is connecting with other people who have abandonment issues and other situations that are about abandonment. And so that vibration is big, and it's going out there. We go in, and I trace back where it began. Where was the first lifetime that you really had this wounding of abandonment? And I'll go in and clear that. And then the person starts to experience in their life a complete different relationship to abandonment. It's less, it's not as pronounced. Sometimes it's, you know, like there's no abandonment issues that they continue to experience. There's varying degrees of that, and it's usually quite powerful. I know that there's people that will ask me to do clearing and healings, which is when I don't speak to the person. I just get a photograph of them and a list of ailments. And several people that I've worked on, I've had to go in and clear some things karmically while I'm working on them. And, of course, I always ask I ask their higher self to be able to do the work, and I communicate with their higher self while I'm working on the person. And this one guy that I worked on, I went in and cleared a lifetime that had everything to do with the mental illness that he was experiencing in this lifetime. And it was just, it was amazing, because the lifetime was in China, and it was very detailed. He was guarding his family, and he fell asleep, and the opposition came in and killed his whole family. It was really powerful, very intense. And I wrote his sister who had gotten the clearing and healing for him. I wrote her the whole report as to what I saw and what happened and what the past life was. And she wrote me back the next day, and she said, the weirdest thing happened. She said, my brother called my mother, which he never calls anybody, and she says he called my mother and told her that he had a dream about being in China and that he was protecting his family. It's like he recounted the whole past life to the mother, you know, of what I saw. It was wild. And that's what I mean when I say it's very powerful to go in and clear these things karmically. And we do a lot of work, and the processing work that we do in on this life that we're in is super important. But I feel also addressing what has gone on in our past lives is equally important.
So in terms of this particular person you were talking about, was it the emotion of guilt that was causing the mental illness, or was it something else that opened up that door?
It was guilt, it was fear, and it was a helplessness, and definitely a feeling of shame. There was a lot of shame around this life in China. There was a lot of shame around his life here in this lifetime. Yeah.
So if we lower our vibrations with these negative emotions, portals can open up into another dimension that allows things to come in to create mental illness. I mean, I've seen this in patients, mm-hmm. and you know, you just kind of described it in what you just related as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's very important to raise our vibrations, so that these portals don't automatically open around us and allow things in that wreak havoc with our lives.
Right, and it's actually in the fourth layer of the field, so that big space around you, your auric field, can actually end up on the fourth layer getting openings, and that opens into the astral plane. And so all that stuff can just come marching in because, you know, you lowered your vibration, and we lower our vibration with so much stuff that we do. You know, somebody goes out and has a glass of wine, or, you know, does some kind of prescription medication. That, too, will lower your vibration. And there's ways that you can keep your vibration high even if you choose to do those things. And like what, Sonia? you can meditate. I teach meditation. I think meditation is one of the most important things we can do while we're here on the planet. I think it's super important for getting ourselves grounded and getting ourselves into that third place that I call peace. Because when we've found that inner peace and we're radiating that out, we then start to create peace here on Earth. But we can't find peace outside of ourselves. We have to find it within. Doing yoga, doing exercise, singing your favorite song, all of this stuff raises your vibration. You know, sometimes watching your favorite movie on television can raise your vibration. It's about really expanding your energy in a way that is joyful. It's very joyful when we raise our vibration.
So it appears it's very important to release negative emotions. Do you have any advice for how to do that?
Yeah, I think that releasing anything that we're feeling is important, but particularly the negative emotions, because if we keep them in our body, then they're creating illness, and we create illness in the body. So releasing them can be as simple as sitting down in meditation and just letting that stuff all go down into the earth. You know, I share my grounding meditation in my book, Become an Earth Angel, and I think it's really important. It's the basis of what I work from and with people in my trainings and my retreats and everything that I do. I feel that sounding is really important, making sound, being able to release the emotion. If you have grief and pain, that you're simply getting down next to the floor of the earth and, you know, cupping your hands over your mouth and just releasing that sound, releasing that energy into the earth. The earth is here to really transform our energy. And if we release our energy into her, we're also bringing her energy up through our feet. The earth has everything to do with the health and well-being of your electromagnetic field. So without her, without the air and the water and the earth that we live upon, we would not be alive. And that energy transference is super important. So when you release that pain or that anger or that upset that you're feeling deep into the earth, I like to do it with sound because to me it's really releasing out of the body. It's going to get transformed in the earth's. She's got a big body, and she's really much more equipped to deal with this stuff than people realize. And she will regenerate herself as well. It may cause a lot of turbulence for us who live here, but she will regenerate herself. And we can then also receive her energy up through our feet, up through our legs, into our body, and be more grounded, and also rejuvenate our cells and our tissue and everything with that energy.
Now, in your book, you've talk about exploring the fifth dimension, and you talk about the physical body, emotional body, spiritual body, mental body. I guess I want to finish up with a little bit about what will be happening to us both individually and collectively as we go forth in the new time that we're in. How can people understand this fifth dimension?
Well, we are evolving, and as souls in bodies, and I will say as infinite souls in bodies, we are evolving. As we all chose and made this conscious agreement long ago, okay, yeah, we're going to go down to earth and we're going to evolve the human form, because our natural form, our natural state of being is in spirit form. So as we evolve this physical human form, lifetime after lifetime, hopefully getting less and less out of amnesia and remembering who we are and why we're here, and that is to be the caretakers of this planet of Earth. We have this higher frequency now, and we will continue to evolve. We'll continue to find our way in being in service, to find our way onto our path. We will all continue to deal with the Earth changes that are happening, which is, you know, we're headed for a mini ice age, and we're already seeing the results of that. It is something that will change, but we will adapt and change with it. I don't see the human race ending. I see us evolving and learning to deal with this extreme weather patterns that we're having. Possibly even some people having to migrate a bit because the water levels are continuing to rise, and there'll be many cities eventually underwater because the water levels will get so high. But it's, you know, we have been here and done this many times, and we all know it. That's why as souls we are all here right now, because we're equipped to deal with it. And I have total faith in humanity and the souls that inhabit humanity's bodies that we can deal.
So part of this is following one's guidance. That internal guidance keeps us safe, prevents us from staying in areas that might be dangerous, mm-hmm. and in general helps us navigate through anything that is ahead of us.
That's right.
So
that's right.
That guidance is very, very important. Would you like to speak about that for a little bit?
I would. I think inner guidance is really important, but I think in order to get at the inner guidance, we must take time to do the work, and that is we need to go in and excavate the emotional wounds that are stored in the body and do the processing with the inner child and all of the components that are within the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies in order to get at that inner guidance. Because many people come from dysfunctional families. They come from situations where that inner guidance, that inner compass was broken, was, you know, completely annihilated by, you know, parents who didn't know any better themselves because they came from dysfunction and abuse and et cetera, et cetera. So we have to take responsibility. We have to say, okay, I'm ending this cycle. I'm going to end the cycle of being the victim or the perpetrator, the bully. I'm going to end this cycle and go in and do the work, because if I do the work, I'm going to regain what is in, what is truly within me, and that is the compass that guides me.
Yeah, that's very important. Mm-hmm. You had talked about meditation earlier. I think meditation is one of the keys for developing guidance. Mm-hmm. I think that is, mm-hmm. That's probably the one most important thing you can do in mm-hmm. order to increase those things within you that can be related to guidance, which is feeling, hearing, seeing, and knowing.
Right, right. I agree. And I teach meditation all over the world. I've got a wonderful sacred site meditation tour in England in May 6th through the 14th, and also a meditation retreat on Maui in October that is addressing the four essential bodies, the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. So there's some really, I love traveling to do these things because I have clients all over the world, and it's really fun to get to, you know, do one in California, do one in Europe, do one in Hawaii, wherever, so that people can come from various places. And they're intense. The retreats that I do are really intense because we go deep. My guides raise the frequencies and take everybody into a much higher vibration and allow the time to integrate being in a higher frequency so that we can learn how to function and maneuver in this fifth dimension with a raised vibration. So they're really, it's really intense, but it's fun.
So we're coming up on the end of the hour here. Would you like to give your contact information one more time?
Sure, sure. It's Sonja, S-O-N-J-A, Grace, G-R-A-C-E.com. You can find me on Facebook, Mystic Healer Sonja Grace. That's my fan page. You can also find me on Twitter, Sonja Grace Guide. And on my website, I have a free once-a-week Earth Angel that goes out. It's a message from my guides. Comes out every Sunday, and it's real fun. Lots of really good things in that. So thank you.
Would you like to give our listeners... I guess one more important message that
yes.
you have for them, anything from the angelic realm at this point in time?
Mm-hmm. The most important thing that I would say to the listeners and to anyone who hears this show is keeping yourself grounded in this higher energy is super important. And when you're searching for your spiritual path, find a teacher, stick to that person, that teacher, learn what you can, and in any industry, take the time to really learn what you're doing. Excuse me. And find yourself that place of meditation, because that's very powerful to really integrate and, as you said, hear your intuition.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Sonja. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for having me on. It was really wonderful to speak with you.
We've been interviewing Sonja Grace, who's the author of Becoming an Earth Angel. Please read her book as well as look her up on the Internet. She has a lot of wonderful teachings and seminars and other things on her website. Again, thanks a lot, Sonja. We are really happy to have you today.
Thanks so much.
This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.